Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Anxiety, you know, people could say, well, I don't have an anxiety problem. We all have an anxiety problem. If you don't ever have anxiety, you're doing something wrong. You're probably not breathing. It's just some people have more. You may have an anxiety problem. Let me rephrase that. Everybody deals with anxiety one way or another. But we should deal with it God's way. Amen? Some people are just prone more, but hey, there's ways and things that you can do. I've been talking about this series. Last week I talked about your thoughts are showing. I don't know. If you weren't here and you didn't get that one, you should get that one. That's a good one. So your thoughts are showing. You should get that one. You should watch it. We're actually live streaming, and we're also on YouTube and or on the website, but get hooked up on that. Talked about Philippians 4:8. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, of good report. We need to focus on the good report. And then he said, these do. And I was saying, you can do something about it if you're not experiencing the peace that God has for you. Last week, I shared Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, this he will reap. And we need to understand that is a principle that gets kicked into gear. And today, I want to kind of shift the focus just from, instead of just talking about our thoughts, I want to talk about our words. Today, I want to talk about how our words create, how there's creative power in the word. The Bible tells us life and death are in the power of the tongue. There's creative power in our words, and our words can limit. Our words can put limits. You know, mom and dad, your words can put limits on a kid. If you tell a kid, you're this, you're that, you can limit them unless you tell them you can do anything. You know, I remember my mom telling me that one time when I was young. She said, you could do anything you want to do. You know, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I want to keep being a loser doing drugs. No, I didn't say that, but that's what I did. But she didn't limit me and say, you're a loser and you'll never do anything. Are you here? Yes. You'll live up to the potential, and you, even for yourself, you can put limits on yourself, because some of you are harder on yourself than anyone else. You have grace for everybody but you. That was for somebody, because it's not in my sermon. Here we go. I want to talk about words. I want to talk about our words, because there's a principle, you know, that the words that we express today, they're actually so creative that they're creating the experience that we're going to have in our tomorrow. So what are we doing with those words, and what are we declaring in those words? I want to come from a story. I kind of was resisting God, going, I really want to go here, but I felt like there was something in it, and I saw some things really good out of 1 Samuel 17 that I've never seen before. And I want to share them with you. It was a really exciting week. 1 Samuel 17:20. I want to talk about David. David's the main character today. And it says, so David arose early in the morning. He left the sheep with a keeper. And he took the things and he went to Jesse. And the things that Jesse had commanded him, excuse me. And he brought them down to the army. So he had some supplies. He brought them down to the whoever is tending the supplies. And then he ran down to the battle lines to talk with his and greeted his brothers. Verse 23. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, doom, 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 the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name. Everybody go, boo. So Goliath comes out, and it says, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. So this was happening. This was a pattern. This wasn't new. This had happening every day, and he's saying the same stuff all over again. Can I tell you, a lot of the stuff the devil tries to tell you, it's the same stuff. It's the same lies. Most of them are rooted in four, if you bring them all down to four categories, but he does the same lies. But I want to point something out to you here. He came down and he spoke, but look at verse 24. It says, and all the men, say all the men. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. How does that happen? How does one man polarize an entire army of warriors? I would submit to you, maybe Goliath wasn't the only thing in play. Maybe there was a spirit of fear being released and Goliath was just a pawn in the devil's playbook. Okay, can I just maybe today we're not dealing with a 9-foot giant, but there is a spirit of fear, and that spirit has a voice. Maybe that voice is coming through the media. Maybe it's coming through your challenges, through your checkbook. Maybe it's coming through challenges with your future in education. Maybe it's coming through, I don't know what it's coming through, but fear has a voice, and it tries to intimidate you from your mission and ministry. And so we all deal with Goliath, and I believe that the spirit of fear was probably more powerful than Goliath. Think about it. David later assembles these people. He calls David's mighty men, right? Look at their resumes. I mean, these guys weren't wimps. These guys did some crazy stuff. Come on. One of them takes the spear away from this Egyptian and kills him with his own spear. One of them goes down into a pit on a snowy day and kills a lion. You're going to go down into a pit with a lion on a snowy day where you're footing? Hello? They killed giants, you know, 100 Philistines, you know, and stood their ground. What? Come on. These guys did crazy things and feats. So what happened out there? These are the same guys that are standing here palsied by fear. What made the difference? What happened? Something shifted. And I just submit to you that maybe it took somebody with enough forward thinking, somebody who was ready to bring the breakthrough, somebody that would break through the normal. They're sitting all around you. There's entrepreneurs in this room. There's people that are in school right now, and God's going to change your major. Your parents are like, "Don't tell them that." No, I've invested. You listen, there's people here. We've got to be those that are thinking beyond the norm. We've got to be those that are ready to break the normal. See, David did something. David broke a lid. How many of you know that when the 4-minute mile was broke, then everybody starts breaking the 4-minute mile? David broke a lid, and he did something. So think about it. And if you think, really, was David really all that important? Think about it. David broke a lid. So the potential was always there with all of them, right? So later, the Bible records at least 6 more giants went down, right? Well, who killed the first giant? David killed the first giant. Then all these other giants go down. David killed a lion. Benaniah kills a lion. David takes the sword away from Goliath, cuts his own head off with it. One of David's mighty men takes a spear away, kills a guy with it. I think it was a spear. Takes his weapon away and kills him with his own weapon. I'm trying to tell you that somebody broke the lid and everybody ran in. See, you guys are those that break the lid in business. You're the ones who break it in your schools. You break it in your homes. You're the ones telling your kids you can do it. You're champions. You're the ones that take that thing off. Or we just stay to the status quo. We play it safe and we don't change anything around us. Boring. See, David, he broke the limitations. David, he had this thing down. You think, well, you know, that scripture's too long. Whatever things are true, pure, noble. I forgot. What was the second one? Whatever's just, whatever's lovely. What are we thinking of? What's a good report? David was. David was already doing the Philippians 4:8. He was already thinking like that. And I want to show you that today. The first thing I want to show you, number one, is that for us, defeating a giant starts with victorious thinking. It starts there. In 1 Samuel 17:23, it says, "Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine Goliath by name, coming from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them." Say, "So David heard them." The difference is these people were listening and listening and listening, and David hears it once, and the response was totally different. "The men of Israel saw the man, fled from him, and were dreadfully afraid." But David was thinking differently. David heard the same thing, but he thought differently. "So the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen the man who's coming up? Surely he's come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the and he, they said, and it shall be for the man who kills him that the king's going to enrich him with great riches, give him his daughter, and then tax-free status.'" Come on, he's going to get the glory, the girl, the gold, and no taxes. I mean, David's like, "Tell me again." What was that? "So David spoke to the man who stood by him and said, 'What shall be done to the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel?' But notice what he says right there. He says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should divide the armies of the living God? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Jonathan said the same thing. Jonathan, they're in a battle. They're up against the Philistines. And he told his armor bearer, he said, I'm thinking like God's going to do something. Who are these uncircumcised Philistines? And he went over there and he said, would you come with me? And he said, God doesn't need a large number of people to defeat them. And his servant says, hey, I'm with you. Whatever's in your heart, let's go. He says, well, if they tell us come up here, that means the Lord's with us. What? If they say stay there, we're coming down to you, then I'm like, really? That's all he took. And then he's like, God can deliver with a few, and he wipes out a bunch of Philistines. But they were uncircumcised Philistines. These people are without covenant with a living God. The circumcision symbolized the covenant. David's saying, who's this uncircumcised? What David was saying was, is not just making an observation that the guy has a different whatever. Let's not go there. But he's making a distinction that that was a sign of a covenant. What he's saying is that guy's not in covenant with a living God. I'm in covenant with a living God. He's like, that guy's not in covenant. We're in covenant. Who is he who's not in covenant with God thinking he's going to intimidate the people who are in covenant with a living God? And you have a better way, a new and a living way. This, you have a better covenant. You have a new covenant. And this used to confuse me why David would ask again, because I'm like, David, are you like, need healing in your ears? They just told you and you're asking again. But David is something. David was up to something when he would ask again. See, David was just getting his mind wrapped around this victorious thinking. He just wanted to hear it again. Tell me again about what God is going to do to the man who takes him out. Just tell me again. Are you with me? Oh, these warriors are afraid, but David's heard the same thing, but it was because he had different thinking. Everybody around you can be saying that can't be done, but you got to have different thinking. Everybody can be saying that's been tried, but you have to have different thinking. See, David was getting fired up. He was ignoring the voice of fear, and he was letting faith rise up. See, until his faith grew bigger than the giant. So whatever your giant is, you need to like speak to yourself until your faith rises. Read it in the Word. Get around somebody who will tell you your potential. But let the voice of faith lift you above the voice of fear. David's faith grew bigger than his opposition. Then he was ready. We need to do the same thing. Verse 28. Eliab, his older brother, heard David speak to the men, and his anger arose towards David. Why'd you come down here? Why have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? He puts him down. I know your pride. I know your insolence of your heart. You've come down to see the battle. He puts him down, and then he starts trying to like get into his head and tell him you've got pride and this, trying to humble yourself and come down. When he's trying to wrap his mind around faith, he's already trying to bring him down. Don't let people bring you down. If all your friends bring you down, then you need new friends. This is family. David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then he turned towards another person. He said the same thing. Hey, what's going to be done to the person who takes out the giant? Hello? And these people answered the same thing. And he's wrapping his mind around the victory again. See, David let his brother's words just be like water off a duck's back. Just. Whatever, I'm not going to take it in. He didn't sit there and go, my brother, you know. And he asked questions to other, even though he already knew the answer, he wanted to hear it again. David had an appointment with destiny, and his appointment was greater than the whole army's disappointment. And you have an appointment. Come on, Tommy, you have an appointment in nations. Our appointment has to be greater than all the disappointments that try to stop us from getting to fulfill our appointment. We've been appointed. You've been commissioned. And it's a great commission. And we need to allow that and focus on what's on the other end of that more than the disappointments. We can't focus on the disappointments. We can't be dissed. or even disappointment can yeah. Albert Einstein said this. He said, we can't solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them. Can't solve them the same kind of thinking. We have to think God thoughts. And the good thing is that he gives us the mind of Christ. Each time David asked, what will the king do for the man who kills him? His focus was on the outcome, not on the dilemma. He was asking with a purpose to refocus. He was refocusing. D.L. Moody said this about Moses' observation. He said, Moses spent his first 40 years thinking he was somebody. Huh? He spent his next 40 years thinking he was nobody. Right? Then he spent his next 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. 80 years old, and he starts rocking it. Oh, I'm too old. I don't know. What can God do with a nobody? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do all things. It wasn't just Moses. It's not just those disciples. That's you. You can do all things. You see, well, I tried this and it didn't work. Try something else. God's word works. Well, let's figure it out. So let's stop trying to figure out why something didn't work and let's move on and get different thinking towards the future. Because if you keep reprocessing that, you're never going to be able to tackle this. Because you can't use that kind of thinking. It's not going to get you where you need to go. So the quicker you forgive it, forgive the incident, forgive the thing, let it go, even if it's yourself. Well, I failed. I lost a bunch of savings of my family's savings or my money or this or that. It's like, forgive yourself, forgive it, forgive the incidents, move on and think differently. Abraham Lincoln failed. He failed as a congressman. He failed to get elected. He failed all these failures. You could just read all his failures. But then he succeeded because he didn't quit. And he wasn't afraid to move forward. And he wasn't afraid to think. He actually surrounded himself with a lot of his opposition from a different political party on purpose to keep himself sharp. See, some of us are so dull because the only thinking we allow ourselves to get around is the same kind of thinking we think. We make statements about groups of people that really we shouldn't. That's a whole nother sermon. We got to remember the Emmanuel factor. We got to remember the Emmanuel factor. We have to keep that in our head. How many like all the superheroes stuff? I enjoy superheroes. I like to go, I call it my nothing box to just watch something where, you know, this big green monster is breaking a bunch of things apart. I'm okay with that. You know, I like the Hulk. I like these things, you know. I get it, the whole, you know, Greek gods trying to, you know, infiltrate and train our thinking. I am not going to move from a monotheistic thinking to polytheistic thinking and think there's a bunch of gods and all the Greek stuff. I get all that. I just like some simple Hulk tear some stuff up. Okay, there's my confession. So I was thinking of Thor. Thor goes out to face Hulk and Hulk's in the arena and I'm thinking, man, if I was in a fight, I'd like to bring the Hulk with me. And I really like the whole Thor thing. Awesome. But I'd like to bring the Hulk with me. You know what I mean? If I had to show up at a fight in a battle, it's like, let me bring the green guy. You know what I mean? He's pretty handy in a pinch, huh? And I was thinking about that and I thought, you know, but you know, if you bring the Hulk with you, you're bringing Steve Bannon. You are. You're bringing a passive intellectual with you. Oh, what good is he going to do on a battlefield? And he keeps trying to think peaceful thoughts. Think peace. Don't let the green guy come out. Can I just tell you, your thinking will determine whether Emmanuel comes out. Because you got somebody bigger than a big green guy that comes out of you. You got the Lord of heaven and earth. You have Emmanuel, God with you, God in you. You have the one who is the miracle worker, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who's the game changer, the one who parts seas, the one who heals the sick, the one who does miracles, the one who has wisdom beyond wisdom. That's the one you carry. And when you go into the game, you've got him with you. But the question is what kind of thinking are you thinking? Because when Bannon starts getting stinking thinking, the green guy comes out. Are you here? But you have Emmanuel in you. Can you imagine someone telling Steve Bannon, you know, it's like, you know, like, yeah, you're a wimp, you're this, you're that, and start pushing him around? It's like, ha, don't push that guy. Ha, you're going to be surprised real quick because the green guy's going to come out and you're going to get hurt. Hello? Are you with me? What about you? What happens when the world pushes? Fear will test you because fear tests faith. Even truth is tested. And truth is tested. Faith is tested. But we have Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin will be with child. She shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. It's always important to look at first mention, first prophecy fulfilled right there, God with us. It's important. Firsts are really important. The question is, do you release him? And it starts with our thinking. It turns into our convictions and our beliefs, which come out of our mouth. They do come out of your mouth. It's like I said, your thoughts are showing. It'll come out of your mouth. And then your actions are based on your beliefs. So how do we get from having beliefs to acting on those beliefs? Thank you for asking. Number two is, I want to talk about speaking words that form our future. Speaking words. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Talking about Goliath, your servant will go out and fight with this Philistine. A little tiny teenager telling Saul, who's head and shoulders above everyone, he's where my head stops, that's where his shoulders stop. He's a big guy. He's telling him, don't let your heart fail you. Can you imagine? Don't worry, I'll go out and fight him. I mean, I know he wasn't wimpy like that, but I'm just saying, like, you got this little cute red-haired kid telling the king, Saul, don't worry. Come on, that's like your kid telling you, don't worry, Dad, I know you're freaking out, I got this one. And you're like, you know what I'm saying? But in this instance, David is telling him and all those great warriors, David's mighty men, those were great warriors. Some of those guys were bad to the bone. I guarantee you there was people that were more skilled than David. But they were limited because of their thinking. And John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Someone greater than David came on the scene and he's speaking to you. And he's telling you, don't let your heart be troubled and don't be afraid. Why? Because he's with us. And then David tells Saul, the Lord, and in verse 37 of 1 Samuel 17:37, he says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. And as soon as David turned around, he said, he's going to get toasted. You know what I mean? I mean, like, really, go and the Lord be with you. He's probably like, Lord be with you because you're going to die. I mean, have you ever been there? People are like, yes, we think you could do it. I was a kid in the neighborhood. He's going to jump like 40 foot on a bicycle. I'm thinking those rims are going to collapse. And he got in a big mess, you know, and it's like he was always trying to do Evel Knievel inspired stunts in our neighborhood as kids. Did you have one of those? You were one of those. And I'm just messing with you, but because I know you. I used to rue this guy when I was in school anyway. But you know, there's always people like that. And here it is, David's sitting here, and David's like, he's going forward. I don't even think he believed in him. David's focus wasn't just on what he did, but he did release the testimony of the past because the spirit of that testimony is the spirit of prophecy. So he was releasing the prophetic the Lord delivered me of the bear, the Lord delivered me of the lion. It's good to go back there, but we don't stay back there. He only said that in context to release the prophetic so he could say where he was going. And he said, the Lord's going to deliver me of this one. This giant's going to be like those guys. He was prophesying. He was already speaking his victory before he had the victory. He was releasing the spirit of prophecy. Then he was declaring his victory. And then he didn't just stop there and go, and so, however it happens, God. No, and then he took action. And David's focus was on the Lord delivering him. And in Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Sometimes you're the mouth that needs to release the word of God over yourself. When fear is trying to steal the spiritual oxygen, have you ever felt like that? It's like I had faith, and then it's just like, it's just getting sucked out of your spiritual heart. You're just like, oh, I can't spiritually breathe. What happened? I was a man of faith. I was a woman of faith. And all of a sudden, I don't even have faith for anything. Huh? Have you ever had those days? Am I the only one who ever has a day like that? Mine usually lasts maybe 10 hours at max before they have to do a reset. And just come into the presence of God, and fear and all that junk can't sit on you in the presence of God. If you go sit with God every day, it doesn't go 24 hours. It can't, because God just breaks it all off of you and blesses you and fixes you. I had one of those days. I don't know what day it was, but last week I had a day like I just wanted to give up. I'm a pretty steady, sturdy guy. I never want to give up. But I just got challenged with so much. I focused too much on the challenges, and I just like was like my spiritual faith oxygen was gone. But it was easy. Before I practiced the last 15 before I went to bed, I focused on everything that was good and peaceful, pure, holy, and good report. I'm like, I love my wife. What a beautiful wife. I love my church. I love all my friends. I love my mentors. I love this. I start focusing on everything that's beautiful and lovely. I wake up at like 4 a.m. and the God, and I don't wake up every morning since then at 4, but God had an appointment. He takes me out there and I'm worshiping and he's telling me, and I'm doing the first 15 with God and telling him about everything that's good and holy and pure and the good report. And my faith, man, I just like, I'm ready to like charge the world after that. Are you with me? We get a reset and a do-over all the time. We get to come back to the foot of the cross. Are you here? So don't feel bad if you're facing it. I remember stories of Young E Cho built one of the largest churches in the world. It's not anymore, but he did. And what he did, he said he'd start walking and he has faith. He's looking at it. Then fear would come on him. He'd have to sit down and pray. And it would take him like 8 hours to walk across the site of the building because he'd have to go back and find faith again, sit there and pray for 2 hours and then get up and try to believe for what he's doing. He'd get back down and start praying again. It's like hitting your knees is not a bad thing. It's actually really good. If you make it a habit, it's like it's nothing new. David wasn't just focusing on his history as much as he was focused on his legacy. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I'm going to cut your head off. Yeah. Goliath's like, who's this kid think he is? But is it the most interesting thing in this passage, I never saw this, verse 47, he said, then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. I've seen that, for the battle is the Lord's, seen that, and he will give you into our hands. Didn't notice that. He'll give you into my hands. He's talking. I'm going to cut your head off. He's going to give you into my hands. He'll give you into our hands. Who's our? The wimpy people that were all out there cowering from Goliath? It certainly wasn't that crew. David had to separate himself from the crew and do something because these guys weren't going to come. You ever been there? I remember in my days before I was saved, I started getting into a fight. I thought my friends would come with me. I stepped forward. None of them stepped forward. I was by myself with a bunch of guys. I'm like, are you kidding me? Who am I hanging out with? Another whole thing. David wasn't saying, I don't think he was referencing the army. He was referencing him and God. David actually believed the Emmanuel factor. You have it. You have it in writing. You have a covenant. Yours is sealed with blood. Jesus' blood. You have a covenant. A covenant, a blood covenant cannot be broken. It cannot. You have God's word. You have a covenant. Man, David knew he could not defeat the giant. You say, what, Pastor? You just said, no, he knew he couldn't defeat the giant, but he knew we can defeat the giant. He knew he was facing a big green guy, but he knew he had somebody bigger than the green guy. He wasn't the Hulk, but I mean, he was a giant. Hello. He knew that he had God. He knew he was going. He was saying basically, but me and God can. So we've got to get convinced. And when we start feeling like it's about me, you know, someone said one time, they said, you know, anxiety is saying that us and God are not bigger than our problem. So we've lost the Emmanuel factor when we get anxiety. We've lost the God factor. And we start thinking we're going to do it on our own, with our own wit, with our own money, with our own talents, with our own favor. No, how about we do it with God's favor and God's talent and God's might and God's wisdom? And just saying. So David knew it. He really believed God was with him, and God really is with you. You really can do greater things. You really are here to change the world. God really does want to impact society. I don't want to get to heaven and find out I left a bunch of stuff on the table. Now think about the difference of David. You go, well, I don't know how to deal with this. What do you want me to do? What did David do? David would be out there and he's got the sheep. What do you do when you tend your sheep? You're not busy all the time. He's sitting there worshiping God. He's watching the sheep. He's worshiping. He's praising. You need to get up and worship and praise God. David had presence. David practiced presence. You need to practice presence so that when you get in a tough time, finding the presence isn't hard because it's something you do all the time. David knew how to hear the voice of the Lord. David knew how to rely on God because he practiced it. Are you here? So David just came off from the fields. One day he comes out onto the battle, hears it, and says, this guy's going to go down because he'd been with God. If we don't practice the presence of God and you think you're just going to have this courage to walk on the battlefield and do all this stuff, it's not going to happen that way. We have to invest, and we have to invest in our beliefs. We have to get excited about reading the Bible and filling ourselves with faith. We have to get excited about spending time in the presence of God. David didn't go up and tell God how big his giant was. God, have you seen him? He's 9 foot tall. Have you seen the weight of his spear? Have you seen this? Have you seen that? David went out and told the giant how big his God was. David went out and looked at the giant and said, I'm coming to you. Not with your swords and spears and the stuff that everyone else is afraid of. I'm coming to you in the name. And the name is the same as the presence. You can't separate his name from his presence. He's saying, I'm coming to you with somebody better than a big green guy. I'm coming to you with the presence. I'm coming to you with the Lord, the host of the Lord of hosts, the captain of the Lord's army, all of the armies of heaven. I'm coming to you with a huge, huge advantage. I'm going to tell you how big my God is. We need to start to prophesy to our problems. We need to look at our giants and start saying, do you really know the power of God? Do you really know God's potential? Do you really know God's heart? Do you really know God wants to save all his creation, all humanity, and especially the hard ones? And even in the darkest places, God wants to save it. God wants to save it. You say, well, I'm just done. I want to move out of California. No, I want to save California. No, no. How about we save it? Don't walk away from it. You know, if things get dark, the light shines brighter in a dark place. I saw a little tiny light on a flashlight out on the golf course last night, way out there. Because it's pitch dark out there. There's no lights. But I could see movement off the smallest light. You know, your light shines brightest in a dark place. Don't be afraid to shine. Bring it. David acted big, but there was something about it. Do you know that they believe that Goliath went back and forth for 40 days, and then David came out? Can I tell you, 40 represents testing. Can I just tell you this? You will be tested with fear. Goliath represented the spirit of fear. Prophetically, there's a picture of testing. You will be tested with fear, but all faith needs resistance to be tested. The question is, will it be tested to be true? Are you here? Yeah. So we got to change our thinking, but then we've got to allow for the testing and not run from the testing. Prophesy to it and then act in it. And that's the third one, is that we take action based on our beliefs. And I'll land with that, that basically you can't just talk. God doesn't just talk and not do it. I grew up in Oceanside, man. People were like, I'm going to kick you this, you're a mama, this and that. And they never did anything. They did a bunch of talk. Can I tell you, God says, let there be, and light came. God's not talking. God's word isn't empty. God's word doesn't come back empty. God's word's powerful. If you think you're praying and nothing's happening, you need to reread the word. The word says that the word of God is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. That word will not come back empty. It'll accomplish what it was sent out to do. I don't care if it's in my generation or the next. I do care that it's in my generation and not the next. But the word of God will go forth. How about we believe that it's in ours and it doesn't have to go to another generation to be fulfilled, because God's word will be fulfilled. And God's looking for a people to say, here am I, send me. Here I am, use me. Here's my mouth, use my mouth. Let my mouth be a fountain of faith. Let it be a fountain prophetically. Let it be a fountain to declare. And let my actions take out fear. Let me pave the way for the people that are coming before me. I've been quoting Albert a lot today because I've been talking about thinking, reading a bunch of his quotes. He said this, Einstein said, a person who never made mistakes never tried anything new. We celebrate mistakes. If you try something and you fail, you tried. Hello? Everybody clams up. Wait, no. It's okay to make mistakes. You're trying something new. Go for it. Playing it safe is no fun. And I gotta stop. Just last thought here, that we live in a day where it is the day of the giants. Not a day for Goliaths to be victorious, but a day for the giants to fall. It's a day where the Goliaths will speak, fears will speak, fear will be broadcast on the airwaves, it'll be broadcasted, it'll be put out in the businesses, in the schools. Fear, it is a day of the giants, but it's a day of the giants to fall and see that the power of God is more powerful. The question is, who will step up? Who will be a David? Who will bring Emmanuel? Who will believe enough in Emmanuel to bring Emmanuel to this table and release it? And I believe there's Davids all over this room. I believe that you are the ones who are going to shift and change the culture around you. Not complain about it, shift it. Not just declare it's getting dark or turn the light on. I believe you have something in you even greater than that Davidic anointing came. It comes through Christ. And that anointing Christ has, that God in you factor, is so powerful. You have a covenant with a living God. Would you stand with me today? I pray right now all over this room that their faith would arise in this room. I pray faith would arise in this room. I pray it would arise inside of you. I pray right now, God, whatever they're facing, I want you, whatever that giant is, I want you to pick something out. If you have nothing, then I want you to do one of God's. And God's is that there's a lot of people that need to be saved. There's teams going into 5 different nations, or one's our own nation, and well, you could call, you know, LA a nation in itself. Anyway, that's a whole other topic. I'm just saying, but I want you to take it. If you don't have one yourself, then you can borrow one. But I want you just to put your faith against that thing, that voice. I want you to get a plan of when you can start to train and prepare to let the voice of faith be louder than that fear, that your appointment is going to rise greater than the disappointment. I pray right now that you would just say, I just release disappointment. Really, literally. I pray you just say, I release disappointments. Maybe you have a call to do something and you tried and you failed. Like if you study Abraham Lincoln, you'll get fired up. Let's release disappointment. Let's believe. Let's believe. Let's be believing believers. Let's change our world. Let's do what God's called us to do. Let's move forward with faith. Let's not be afraid of mistakes. If you're not making mistakes, you're not trying. And don't be afraid to pick it up and move forward. Come on. Champions are not those who never fail. Champions are those who never quit. You can fail and still be a champion. I want you to forgive yourself of failures. If you feel there's a failure, forgive yourself. Say, I forgive myself. I am not a failure. You do not associate with what happened. You associate with who you are. You are a son. You are a daughter. You are a son and daughter of the King. You have royalty in your blood. You walk with Emmanuel in you. God with you, God in you. And I just bless that. I bless that work in the mighty name of Jesus. Just go ahead and stand. I just bless you in Jesus' name. I pray you would go in a new power. I just bless your life. I thank you for the covenant you've made with them. God said he'll never leave you or forsake you. I just thank you and I pray that you would just be blessed and inspired, and that deposit of faith would encourage you in whatever miracle, whatever breakthrough, in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.